The John Age Project.
Trust no one. Trust no one. Trust no one.
You found it. You're here. You're headlong down the runaway train that is the Anomic Age. I'm your host, John Age. We got a great guest. We got Elias Alias joining us this evening to get into a lot of stuff. So hold on to your hats for that. In the meantime, check out AnomicAge.com. Share the links. Friends, family, loved ones, and enemies. We got the iPhone app, the Android app, the free newsletter, and of course, the information breakdown segments at about 20 minutes if you can't handle the weekly 1 hour with guests, full Monte of the Anomic Age. So, AnomicAge.com. Once again, if you are so inclined, we are post-holiday season right now, so you can become a patron or just make a donation. PayPal.me/AnomicAge, Patreon.com/AnomicAge as well. All that's found at the homepage and at every single thing you are either listening to or watching this on. There's going to be a link down there in the information where you can just click and donate or become a patron. I would certainly appreciate it. This might be free for you, but certainly not for me. All right, enough of me. Hold on to your hats, folks. We'll be joined by our guest in just a mere matter of moments. Stick around. Pleasure to welcome Mr. Elias Alias back into the Anomic Age. Elias is the founder of the Mental Militia. The idea for the Mental Militia is to study the psychology of mass programming and its effects on individual consciousness by helping readers learn about the false left-right paradigm. A Jeffersonian classical liberal by nature, Elias kept a foot in both sides of the political aisle until seeing why he should raise above all political folly. Elias was the senior editor for Oath Keepers' national website for 7 years until November of 2016. Having retired from Oath Keepers, Elias is now going back into jewelry design and occasionally adding a page or two on his website, the mentalmilitia.net. Elias also works as an associate producer for James Yeager's constitutional documentaries, which feature G. Edward Griffin, Ron Paul, Edward Vieira, and much more. Elias has 2 grown children and a grandchild, claims to be a willing servant to all cats, and calls himself the original unemployed poet. Thank you so much, Elias, for being with us today. Sorry, I had a little hiccups here in the beginning.
Hi, John. Good to get back with you again, man.
Indeed, I want to plug your site once again, thementalmilitia.net. I'll have that in the guest links as well.
Well, let me update you on that. For about a year now, that site has been hacked, and it's there on the internet, but I haven't been able to get into it in like 13 or 14 months. It is static. So to see any article on any page in the site, one must scroll down and look for the title of the article below an outline of geek stuff. So I apologize. I cannot seem to get control of my own website, but I'm working on that. And other people are going to help me reclaim my site. So just know it's there, but it's a little bothersome to read at the site.
Well, that's all right. We'll get it worked out. That sounds great. And I love your intro. And ironically enough, this is exactly what the heck I was wanting to talk about today. Definitely wanted to get into the COVID scam, the PSYOP, as I kind of like to talk about it and call it. But I was thinking about this morning, and I feel like I had this great download of information. I was about to just send you all this stuff, this morning while I was talking about it, because we talked about it a little bit last night, but it really resonated with me today when I was trying to kind of formulate my own notes and get on the right track to what we're going to talk about this evening. And I know we mentioned this a little bit last night, but just the psychological angle of this and how this whole thing really does play into the psychology of, and I've talked about this a lot in past episodes, but this notion of perception is reality. And if they control your perception of that reality, then they can thus control the people and control, well, not me and you, but control the masses by controlling what they perceive. You know, even early on with this COVID thing where we had all these mass people just falling over in the street in China and this big fear campaign, the usual shock and awe, weapons of mass distraction in place, and they controlled the perception, and then they began to control the people with that control of reality.
Don, that's exactly right on the target. Perception is everything. And I'll tell you, I learned that from a guy at the CIA about 20 years ago, or maybe 19 years ago, at a meeting with the CIA agent that was set up by a mutual friend in a saloon in Logan, Montana. I spent 2 hours talking with this gentleman, and he told me repeatedly that perception is everything. So that's a CIA meme that I'm sure every agent lives with. Anybody in intelligence knows, and certainly the media knows, that perception is everything when it comes to our consensus reality. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's exactly what they've done with this whole thing. And you might be able to connect some dots here, because I know you're a veteran yourself and in Vietnam, but this morning when I was trying to like plan out this whole thing and just think about it, it occurred to me how they've controlled the perception of war. So the American people don't even realize we're in a war right now, like a war with the deep state or the globalists, the pedophile rings or whatever you want to call it. But I mean, we don't even realize we're in a war right now because they've controlled what we perceive as a battle for so long. From my perspective, you look at World War I and World War II, we didn't really have the mass media, the television, the boots on the ground cameramen. So we were kind of reliant on what we were fed a little bit to a lesser degree with World War II. But then when we moved into Vietnam, they were able to show all these mass casualties and bodies on the evening news every night. So people had that fear, I think, heightened at a whole nother level, and kind of using that fear to control people, and then juxtapose that to where we are now. They've kind of used that same fear mantra of everybody's going to die if they don't take the vaccine, and if you're 6 feet less around somebody, if you don't have your mask, and if you don't do this, that, and the other. I mean, they're controlling that fear. They got their pulse on the fear because they know what to do to manipulate it after all these wars and after all these smoke screen, so to speak.
It's a major, major aspect of our lives. And we tend to be, here in Western civilization, we tend to be a little distracted from even worrying about it. But it is something I should talk to you about. Something that Anton Chaykin sent to me in 2011. He is the historian for the LaRoche Foundation in Washington, D.C. I called him to ask about a General Paul E. Vallely, who had been the Pentagon's liaison to Fox News. And he gave me a PDF. And the title of the PDF was called From PSYOP to Mind War. And this white paper was written by the 7th Psychological Operations Group in the U.S. Army in 1980.
Wow.
And it's a 10-page document, very fascinating, plans on how to use the media, electronics, and any other device that they can come up with to control the perception of the entire human race, including the United States. Hmm. Calling it Mind War. And it is a document that is available on the internet. So actually since 1980, we know that intelligence, especially military intelligence at that time, intelligence is interested in what you and I think, in what all of our good neighbors think. So it's an ongoing thing. I know that you know Defense Intelligence Agency has these little side warriors who are busy on their computers all day, stirring up stuff, making conflicts, creating doubts under articles or on forums in the internet. And they have full-time psychological warriors doing this at Defense Intelligence Agency. That is a reality that CNN is not likely to talk about. Maybe they will, I don't know. But the government is, I say the government, let me put it a better way. Certain people or psychological types working inside the government are keenly interested in mind control because it's a part of the approach to winning at mind war. And we're seeing this every way. You know it. Our friends know it. You can see it. And yet it's not really thought about by the public at large. So what I would love to do is see if this COVID reaction, where they have laid out a blanket of fear bombs that has consumed the attention of most people on the planet worldwide, putting them in a state of psychological terror. They don't know that they believe the idiocy that they've been told on the news or in the headlines. They believe it. I see people, even here in Montana, where we have a lot of unused air, I'm seeing people riding around in a car alone wearing a mask, which is absolutely remarkable. But that shows you people are frightened. They've been terrorized psychologically. And that is not a duty. This is for the federal government to be involved in the Constitution that created the federal government. Worrying about how we, the people, think or see or understand or perceive is not the government's business. It is not the government's business. It's not provided for in Article 1, Section 8. It's just not there. So, they're doing it anyway, and this is not our government doing it. This is people working in government positions that are doing it, and they're using our government offices to impact with enforcement about what you and I think. That's why all these articles this year that have been just flooded across the internet, the hit pieces on Oath Keepers, all of these hit pieces are talking about Oath Keepers are anti-government, extremists, and other things. Because oath keeping would remove some of the authority, the fake authority, that our systems and hierarchies of government are using to control our police and our military and control the public's perception of what police and military are doing. It's just crazy. There is a mind war going on. The whole COVID thing, we now know, I mean, it's all over the place thanks to people like David Martin and Gary Madej, and there's so many people over the last 2 years that have shown just loving the exposure of the World Economic Forum's connection, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Gavi, Moderna, even Trump's involvement in, you know, getting Moderna set up with $1 billion. All of these facts confront us, and they're readily available. So you and I are seeing it, and we can talk about it still. But what I would prefer is to see more people publishing on paper about it, so that the internet gods cannot erase what we are discussing of the internet. They can't erase a book unless they come to your house. So I think it's a good thing if people read more, if people publish more, and preserve this insight that we have. We have access in Al Gore's own internet to see the damage done. The internet is still alive for some truth. So I think, you know, I don't know, I could sum up this little spiel, but the revolution is a consciousness revolution. The actual war is a spiritual war. And all of it begins in the mind. And that's why I'm trying to, if I can get the hackers away from me, keep that mental militia alive and active on the internet. Because it's a good idea to remind people to center themselves, get the other programs out of your mind and go inside. I think we talked last night a little bit about television versus inner vision. Mm-hmm. And the solutions comes through inner vision. The problem comes through television. And it's personal choice. I mean, I know people that know what I just said is true and still love to live on their TV sets. So, you know, it's a personal choice, but inside myself is where the beginning of changing my world starts. It's inside. You don't go outside looking for a man-made authority. You go inside looking for the creator's authority that you're connected to, right?
That's the truth.
Does it sound like I'm preaching sermons or if I'm just talking about what's in the headlines?
I mean, that just sounds spot on to me. I think that's exactly the opposite direction they want us to be in. I mean, I was resonating what you said earlier, last night even, with getting grounded and getting touching the ground. You know, I'm not talking about worshiping Gaia and out there hugging a tree, but I think they're afraid of people getting out of the city and getting into more of a rural area, where they actually touch the ground, where they touch their food, not in a box, but from the ground, and they can connect back with that creator spirit. They can connect back with what they're supposed to be connected to instead of the digital box or the handheld spa device or what have you. They're afraid of that. I mean, that's why they're so happy. Oh, yeah, just go hang out in the city. That's the place to be. That's where all the action is. The stars are there. The musicians are there. It's all there. Just go there. And do that that thing you were talking about where you do that television instead of the introspection.
Right. So when, you know, John Prine and even Neil Young were singing 40 something years ago about it's time to go to the country. Out in the country, you can raise your kids where they can play in the dirt.
Yeah.
They can feel the earth. They can smell it, touch it. They can be in the cow pastures, they can be in the fields. They're in touch with nature. you're going to these man-made cities, what I call the cities of man, these days, you're in like a steel, glass, concrete jungle that's all convenient and entertaining as all get out. Lots of creature comforts and other things, but you're not out there where your kids can play in the country. Okay? You're not out there where you can play in the country. Go, you know, on a daily basis. Living in Montana has shown me that in these Rocky Mountain area, and that's in Idaho, it's, you know, Wyoming, it's, there's a Rocky Mountain area that some of my friends call the Redoubt, that people are just solid, good, old-fashioned style American people. Hard-working, work ethic, care about their neighbors, respect and honor each other, and live in really kind of extreme seasonal moments. Like our winters here in Montana are pretty interesting, and summers can get warm, but we're living in touch with natural rhythms, with the four seasons, the four winds, and going through the four stages of our lives. Everything.
That's a fact.
It's just natural when you're living in the country and you're not glued to a TV set, you can actually feel your own inner response to nature. And that's a big thing for me.
And I think that's what they're afraid of, and they're afraid of that self-sufficiency and that connection with God and nature and each other. I mean, I've experienced the same thing when I go to small towns or more rural areas. I mean, you'll get away from people you don't even know at a gas station. I mean, you juxtapose that to the big city, you might get another hand gesture from somebody you don't know, but you're not going to get that just – I mean, I love the Andy Griffith Show from, you know, the early 60s, and it's because – it gives you that old time vibe that I think so many people are looking for that's not there anymore at all, but that's about the television extent of my life right there.
Yeah, well, it's about the same here. I think it was well over 30 years ago that I quit watching TV, but I'm in the generation, the first generation raised on TV, and I was up into my 40s, I guess, before I realized I just need to get out and live instead of trying to live vicariously by focusing my hypnotized consciousness on the TV screen, listening and absorbing what somebody else wrote, somebody else concocted, you know, the stories and the entertainment. And so I'm real glad that I figured that out earlier in life, but a lot of my friends are not interested in even thinking about throwing their TV away. I know a place out of Logan, Montana, where you can go a couple of miles out of town, and there's some ravines out there where you can see old television sets that people took out there to use for target practice.
Oh, that's great.
That's my
More intent. People need to do that today.
I think so.
Yeah, it's weird. I was thinking about this earlier. As we're sort of seeing a great reset, if you will. I mean, there's so many of these documents we can talk about, Event 201, Operation Lockstep, and all of it kind of culminates into a great reset. But it struck me this morning when I was thinking about this, so many of these dystopian novels and movies and what have you, it always has these two different groups. I was thinking about the Time Machine with the Morlocks and the Eloi, and even 1984, where you've got those people that are just the drones or the slaves, and then the people working for Inksoc. And I think we're going to see that today, unfortunately, unless people get introspective and get into that inner self and figure this whole thing out or see the writing on the wall, so to speak, because I think we're going to gradually see those people that took the vaccine and those people that are going to wear the mask till the end, and then everybody else. And I mean, it never really occurred to me how many of these dystopian movies and novels of the people that had a mask. But if you look back at so many of these, they had a stinking mask. I mean, I was watching the original Planet of the Apes recently with my wife, and I was like, well, they had something, you know, even masks related to that. And you know, the old Star Wars where you had all those people with masks versus the people that didn't. It's odd and uncanny, but I think it's not by accident.
I had not noticed that. That's very interesting. Yeah.
Or some sort of face covering, not necessarily a full mask, but just some sort of face covering. It seems to be everywhere in a lot of these old movies and old dystopian novels and such.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely out here today. And I'm amazed. I'm just amazed at the success that these World Economic Forum, United Nations people had in the mass population of a collective consciousness. But you know, I think you and I have spoken before about mass hypnosis, where the entire human consciousness is largely, as much as they can force it, is largely hypnotized. So the people aren't even cognizant, and they're not aware of their touch with their inner conscience. They're just following a program that's inserted while they're in a hypnotic trance. And what's done individually is one thing, as Edward Bernays pointed out in 1928. The group mind operates, functions differently than the book that actually anybody should get. It's called Propaganda by one of Sigmund Freud's nephews, Edward Bernays, published in 1928, Propaganda. He's talking about it and figured out, and it's on page 71 in that book, I'll never forget it, where he's talking about, saying once we understood that the group mind works differently than the individual mind, we posed the question, isn't it possible that possibly we could control the group mind without them even knowing it? Mm-hmm. Now that was Sigmund Freud's nephew in 1928. So, you know, the kind of emotional imbalance that we see in political has been going on for a long time. And they get into office, they might be more hypnotized than the masses they're trying to hypnotize, the political status. In Washington, D.C., it's packed. But our history shows they've always been out there, that kind of less than possible humanity, less than possible intelligence, power hungry, liar types. You know, I mean, politicians lie worse than fishermen and hunters. They're known for lying. So, you know,
That's been the name of the game for so long, and I think they've finally kind of switched from that kinetic war into that, and I hate to keep using all these military things, but winning hearts and minds, and people think we're applying that to some faraway land and some third world country, but folks, they're doing that right here. They're winning hearts and minds. That's what this whole COVID thing was about. I think the plan was, if we can get the slaves to put the shackle on themselves, then we can go in with the kinetic forces later and just kind of mop up those outliers that won't wear their mask and take the vaccine and still think we have a constitutional republic. I think that's kind of the plan. I hope I'm wrong, but.
Well, that is their thinking, as it appears to me. Yeah. Man, you're just spot on with your observations on that. But I do not know what it's going to take, but I will say this. When Aldous Huxley published Brave New World, he was publishing an alternative for tyranny that would use a soft glove effect in relation to 1984 by George Orwell, where the brother used an iron pistol approach. Huxley he published another book about 14 or 15 years later called Brave New World Revisited, which he compares 1984 and Brave New World. And we have been guided by these, I call them globalists. Mm-hmm. We have been guided into a perception that it was engineered and is designed to keep us comfortable. We're clothed, we're housed, we're well fed, we got transportation. The average American got a good set of wheels, has money in the bank, has bills are paid, and comforts, creature comforts, conveniences, everything that keeps them, quote unquote, happy. It kept them from rising up and confronting the evil that is threatening their very souls through channels of government. So looking at these old books, you realize what the whole COVID program, I think it was the fourth video in that five video set that you mentioned earlier, Event 201, where they were talking about how to control the voices on the internet of people who had a different point of view. They were literally brainstorming, kind of like war gaming. How can they control the message on the internet? And that was one of the five pillars of the reason they held this conference. These are worldly. I mean, you had the World Bank there. You had the United Nations there. You even had CDC and the World Health Organization, Bill and Melinda Gates. All the usual suspects. They're sitting in there talking, how can we control what's said or conveyed across the internet? And don't think they're not worried and working hard to control. Like this very, the system you have here where we can talk to each other, see imagery of each other while we're talking. They want that power out of our hands. And to get it out of our hands, they're going to use brute force and coercion. But their hope is they don't have to use that. They can use appeasement, entertainment. Some guy said the other day, yeah, man, you give a good redneck 2-6-pack of beer on Monday night football, and he's gonna behave. Okay? Distract him, entertain him. So we've been kind of duped as a collective consciousness. But inside that collective consciousness, it's comprised of little individual consciousnesses like myself and you, individuals within the mass. And there is always hope for individuals because, as I said earlier, this is a spiritual war we are involved in. And your connection through your inner conscience to your soul's vibrations does in turn influence the interaction between spirit, which created everything, and your personal presence here as a human being. We have that direct channel to the cause of life on planet Earth. And they don't want us to know this. They really don't want us to figure that out. And most people don't. Most people don't even think in those levels. So they don't think about it because they're entertained or they're stressed or they're confused or they've been agitated into conflict over social differences and one thing or another. So this is, you know, it's like, John, you and I are living in a time where lots of previously subliminal forces, energetic frequency, vibration of actual good and evil are actually manifesting in terms of world political events and wars and rumors of wars and, you know, whatever, everything. We are seeing a most unusual culmination of the progress of human evolution right here in our lifetime. And I will say this before I shut up again. One thing that I'm pleased about is that I'm getting to be here alive today to witness this. I think it is important for my soul that I witness what's going on here. Well, also add, I might be a war veteran, but I'm totally given to peace and to love's thought system. I'm not interested in opposing anything. I'm objectively observing as much as I can and forgiving it all in order to preserve my sanity and my happiness as a person or as an unemployed person. I'll turn it back over to you there. You can get me back on target, okay?
I mean, I love what you're saying. I don't want to interrupt you. It's so spot on.
Well, thank you. I really do talk too much.
Excuse me.
I'm an old guy. You know, I had what,
and I know I'm going to lose some more viewers and listeners on this one because I always say I do. I don't know if I will or not, but I love that you're not picking a side on this thing because it's so corrupt from the floor up on both sides of that bird. And, I mean, I've been talking about this for 6 months, and I'm finally, I think at least there's some people in the alternative media. I think the mainstream is still clinging to their golden cow. But, I mean, I've been upset with the whole Trump thing almost since day one because we kept seeing the same old business. And then finally people are coming forward and saying, well, yeah, he's still pushing this stinking vaccine. I was like, yeah, duh. He's the guy that pushed the whole vaccine in the first place. So, I mean, there's so many contradictions. If you and he did a lot of good, so I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But by that same token, where's the line in the sand? Where's that she'd be in jail? Where's all those things that, he I mean, did. Foolishly, I think a lot of people thought they were going to get. And, I mean, I kind of knew what I was getting, but I kind of hoped. I was like, okay, well, it's better than Bush, Obama, and Hillary, so let's see what's up, you know. But here we are.
Well,
not much different.
I think he's primarily a businessman, and he's not necessarily a constitutional scholar. I do think that he has just got sucked into the whirlpool of that swamp in D.C. and was subjected to other people that he had to trust because he didn't know what people do. Other people appointed his cabinet or recommended who's in his cabinet, and he was surrounded by all of these idiots, same old faces as like Jimmy Carter used to promise to get rid of. So I think he meant well, and he does mean well in terms of business. But when he's going to become a willing slave to the tech giants, and he's going to stand up there at the White House on camera in a press conference and tell the American public that America is going to lead the world at rolling out 5G. When he said that, that was one of my first early red flags. And I watched as he continued in his administration. Why didn't he fire Fauci years ago? Right? Why not? Because he was being guided by surrogates for the powers that shouldn't be. He was being guided and directed because he's not a constitutional scholar. He's a businessman and knows how to make money. So here comes big money in the form of Big Pharma, becomes big money in the form of big tech. And they buy his attention by showing him where the money is. Now, David Martin has got this all exposed in his videos, and I would encourage anybody to get on BitChute or Rumble or wherever you can find David Martin videos, and you'll see what we're talking about here is absolutely correct. But then Trump goes and puts up a full page on the White House website called Artificial Intelligence for the American People. Wow. I read that. I say that I download all kinds of stuff just because otherwise I might forget it. But 5G married to artificial intelligence is the basis of what the World Economic Forum and their transhumanist mission to transform natural, organic, naturally created human beings into transhumanism. All of them, that's just what they want. They need the 5G. They need the artificial intelligence. And they need the pharmaceutical methodology that allows them to get their little bio mini bots into your bloodstream through a damn needle. That's what they need. And that's what Trump has given them. He gave the Pentagon the order to give Moderna $1 billion to put vaccine research in warp speed so everybody can get the jab. This was Trump. He did these things. And the people are starting to wake up to that. You've noticed it, that a lot of people are asking questions. In fact, I think he was in Alabama recently getting booed when he told the audience that they should get the jab. And the people booed him. So I don't know, man, but let me put it to you another way. And I figured this out many years ago after they killed John F. Kennedy. And I have my conspiracy theory about what was behind that move. After Kennedy was assassinated, there's not been an American president, in my opinion, who had your and my best interest at heart, or the best interest of the intent of the founders who created the Constitution that created the damn government. That original intent is not very apparent out there these days. So, anyway, what to do about it, I don't know, but I'm very thankful that as a human soul, I was allowed to be on planet Earth and seeing this kind of deception, what James Corbett called hopium. Trump gave people hope by the millions. There's so many millions of Americans would like to just get back to being American. And some of them actually read LouRockwell.com or the Mises Institute. They read or they watch documentaries and they find out about what's going on behind the scenes. A lot of people do. But most of the mass consciousness is still hypnotized. And it's just amazing. Anyway.
And I think it connects full circle to what we started talking about, which is that mind control aspect, that psychological operation of this, because what I saw even 6 months ago, a year ago, was so many of the quote-unquote Republicans or even conservatives were just kind of going along with stuff Trump was doing, which you and I and probably others like us were going, hey, wait a minute, that doesn't sound legit. This sounds like some total BS here. But they were like, oh, it's Trump. He's playing 3D chess, and he's really – going to help us all. And I was going, wait a minute, he's putting Bill Barr in. I mean, that was a scumbag from the Clintons and from Vince Foster. And then the same thing with some of these appointees like Kavanaugh. I was like, yeah, that's the same scumbag from Vince Foster. Did you miss the memo on that? Did you not just, I mean, you could have called me or Elias or about 1,000 other people could have told you that one. I mean, come on. But I think some of that mind control was just so lockstep. with so many of these conservatives that they were just going, oh, well, they were giving him a pass. And then finally, you know, enough stuff started to build up that they were going, oh, wait a minute, maybe he's not as advertised. Maybe we're getting that that Edward Bernays bait and switch kind of propaganda.
Yeah, maybe he is not where we hoped he would be. And I don't think anybody who gets into the White House can still be a normal, conscious individual. I think their soul is ground into the machinery of the processes of the powerful and the deployment of those powers through assumed authorities that they make up themselves. So, I mean, let's put it another way. I was supportive of Ron Paul, and all of my life, since I got out of Vietnam in 1967, I had never voted, period. I was busy living my life. I was busy being me, and I didn't pay attention to things because I just had firsthand, with mortar blasts blowing me off the ground, all around, experience with what government can do. So I just ignored government for years and years and years. I never voted. But when Ron Paul came out and ran for the presidency, I registered to vote. I decided I will be involved in helping this man get his spirit, his vision into the White House to help we the people. So I supported him. Even in fact, Stuart Rhodes had me write a testament for Ron Paul as a veteran, that which he published in SWAT magazine, SWAT magazine. So anyway, Ron Paul was sweeping the country in the middle class, in the average American, the people living our heritage as mom and dad's son and daughter, cousins, aunts and uncle, family is the basis of our society. Honor, the work ethic, all the moral values of being what we used to presume all Americans were, was good people. And so Ron Paul was talking to them, and they were rising up in big numbers supporting him. And what did the Republican Party do? Took a major dump on Ron Paul's campaign, trickery, any deceitfulness they could employ to keep him out of the White House. So he would have been someone that I would be happy to vote. But everybody else since JFK, I haven't believed them. I don't believe them to this day. But again, if we're going to be in a spiritual battle, what the heck are we doing looking for solutions in a man-made government? Why don't we get real inside ourselves, individually? You and the breath you breathe that bears the spirit of life with each breath we take. Why not get in touch with that instead of putting your hope over into a man-made government concept, expecting them to help us find our salvation? That any organized government anywhere is interested in controlling the government. And I think I've shared with you once before something from, Federalist Papers number 51, where James Madison, himself being the father of our Constitution, said, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, in creating a government for men, govern men, the first thing one must do is empower the government to control the governed. And then oblige that government to control itself. Now that's in Federalist page number 51. But government is there to govern. I know it. When I was driving big trucks back in the 80s, and they come up with this putting governors on our big old diesel rigs
yeah.
to keep us from going any faster than they wanted us to. Governors, that's what governors do on trucks or vehicles or whatever, or machinery, but it's also what governors do in our minds that keeps us down to certain speeds. So, you know, we could talk about it forever, but here's what's something to be thankful for. The tighter this globalist one world government crap squeezes everybody, the tighter they clamp down, the more they wake up. And I'm seeing signs that give me confidence that Americans are paying attention in bigger numbers now, as are people all over around the world. And it's a possibility that the blowback from this World Economic Forum, United Nations push, this whole COVID scam, that the blowback could be really beneficial on our side of the equation as people. Yeah, I mean, we do know the crimes have been committed. David Martin, again, I lean on his name. That man has proven the connection. I mean, he knows who wrote the check to the Wuhan lab in China to do the gain-of-function research on coronavirus. He knows who wrote the check to Wuhan lab to do that. And he's named him. In fact, he named him at the Red Pill Expo in Louisiana just this past year, 2021. So, anyway,
Else to realize that. I think it's so cult-like. I think the vast majority of the populace are just like the Jim Jones cult, so to speak, and they're so true believers in this, they don't want to admit they've been conned. I think that's half the problem.
That's a big part of the problem. And, you know, go to Yahoo's front page sometime on the Internet and see what about every other article on their news headline lineup. Is about who is wearing a string bikini to reveal more and looking great and this as a model in one kind of a sex-oriented thing or another. Who's cheating on who? That they are giving the proletariat-type masses distracted, calling it news. They're giving them inside scoop on who had breast transplants. And these things, all of these are important on the front page of Yahoo. But what you and I know and what the American people are waking up to, there's very little of that there. And if they mention anything about politics, it's always in harmony with the intent of, well, it's in harmony with the intent to dominate the public mind, defend the system, defend the government, defend everything, and don't admit that the whole fake authority drive has just been a daydream that some idiots, psychopathic idiots who believe in government and made up and using government offices in conjunction with media offices and in conjunction with Wall Street to keep the American people from rising up or even realizing there might be a reason to rise up. It's phenomenal. You know, it's indescribable. I don't know. It'd take a Stanley Kubrick to actually put all this on film. You know?
Well, I was going to ask you what the heck we can do about this, but I think you kind of nailed it. I mean, I kind of see it very succinctly, you know, kind of like that 1960s things. What if they threw a war and nobody showed up? If you juxtapose that to about now,
yes.
What if they passed a law and nobody followed it? I think that's exactly where the heck we need to be with this whole thing right now.
Yes, indeed, man. if nobody follows, well, if people just quit believing in authority that is not valid authority, the only valid authority that any individual American or anyone on the planet should, in my opinion, embrace is the authority of his own conscience inside himself, in his mind, where everything starts. It all starts in the mind of man. I mean, Dewey wouldn't have written the Humanist Manifesto back in the 30s to influence the NEA to captivate the federal involvement in educating the children in all of our states. Dewey wouldn't have written that, except he had the idea. He had Marx. He had the idea. He had thinkers, Jefferson, Madison, all of these names through history. Their message started in their mind. And there is a lot less of that kind of acute activity, mental activity, since the invention and dispersion and widespread use of television. Television is just absolutely a hypnotic-inducing device. And I've been away from it for a long time. I can see that clearly. A lot of people can't. And because they can't, they have trouble seeing just what you mentioned earlier. They just believe that Trump's got a plan. He's given them this in order to trap them. So, and Hillary will go to jail sooner or later. I want Ms. Clinton in jail now. He said he was going to do it, but he never did. She was walking around or whatever. She never went to jail. And she belongs in jail. In my world, that woman would be behind bars, and that would be the best thing that could happen to her. Man. But Trump, he just couldn't, for some reason, he didn't save us. That's all we need to know. He didn't save us. What's saving us is people talking to people, people looking inside themselves, people caring, having empathy about the degraded condition that all these homeless people are living in now, all these people that lost their businesses and the lockdown, all of these people that lost their jobs, all of the poverty, the pressure, the stress, all of that. You know, we need to be empathetic and understand what the operators of our government system have done in abusing our government system is make hell for a lot of American people and a lot of people overseas. As a war veteran, I mean, I've got an honorable discharge from the U.S. Marine Corps. I went. I quit college, volunteered, and asked for it. I went. What I learned was that our Constitution does not authorize the management of any other country. It is written to manage America, our country. There's no mention in there about managing Kuwait, managing Iraq, managing Afghanistan or Vietnam or Panama, or all these places where Wall Street has continued to keep spending military contractor money to keep the Wall Street bubble afloat. There's no authority in the Constitution for us to be tampering with the internal affairs of other countries. Our Constitution says we will govern ourselves. It doesn't say we're going to govern the world. But your Dick Cheney's and your Project for a New American Century, well, you know all the history that CNN won't tell us about. But Brzezinski's grand chessboard, American imperatives, they want an American empire. Cynthia McKinney's a dear friend of mine who was actually in Syria when they bombed it. And she saw it firsthand. I think Gore Vidal was in Guatemala when the CIA bombed Guatemala in 1954. You know, just,
it's so sick. It really is. It's so sick.
It's never, I mean, you can talk about it forever and you just go round and round in a circle. You end up back where we started. But there's, as you spin around the wheel, you can bring up other points. I mean, history's fascinating. It's packed with how this has happened over the decades, over the centuries, throughout mankind's history. How we end up where we are today, it's all there. And the more we talk about it, the more we can bring to light, because the information is in us and it's out there. So, but thankfully, people like you putting on a program where people can have the opportunity to get together and share the information, whatever. That's, you know, that's still something we can do in America.
Amen to that. Well, I feel like that's a pretty good spot to leave it. I can't believe it's been so long since you've been on. You got to be on a lot sooner than this. My goodness, man. What's the best place for people to find everything Elias Alias? I know we touched on this before because your site's still up, but not where you want it to be.
I can give them another site that also has been hacked, but it's easy to see and read and navigate.
Okay.
It's my personal site called EliasAlias.com. And it's just, I haven't been able to get in there in over a year to add anything, edit anything, or whatever. But I have been under a lot of minor attacks with my internet presence. Emails, text messages, smartphone malfunctioning, website hacked, all kinds of things. And so, but EliasAlias.com is the last known written internet pages that I've got. And hopefully one day I'll get connected with the right servers and the right IT people to open back up my original sites, including that forum, the mentalmilitia.com, where Stuart Rhodes joined that forum over 2 years before he created Oath Keepers. That's still up there since 2003, but the same thing has been hacked. I can't get in there. Nobody can say anything, but you can read there. Mm-hmm. Not that anybody's got time to read there anymore, but it's there. And I'd like to open those up. Right now, there's really, I'm just, let me just say I'm kind of being underground and hermit. And I don't have any really good way for people to get familiar with me. And I don't even know why anybody would want to. But EliasAlias.com is the closest they can come. There is a poetry page there. And there is a page there with the poetry that serves as a portfolio for my gold sculpture work. I think maybe you see behind me there a vacuum investing machine. Mm-hmm. One of the cats here has decided to take a nap beside it. I have a private gold casting studio, and the world is so crazy it's hard to even imagine creating a nice new piece of jewelry right now until we get control of the bizarre powers that are running our lives. But I do have it, have done it, and my portfolio is at EliasAlias.com. And maybe somebody would read a poem they like there, or they might see a photograph of a gold sculptured piece of jewelry. That would be nice. But I'm hard to reach, and certainly my hands are tied on the internet. I cannot do anything. I can talk to you on Zoom, and that's definitely still good. That's good.
Well, thank you so much. If you'll stick around for a few minutes, I'll close things up and talk to you off the air.
Okay, buddy. Thank you so much for having me as a guest on your show.
Oh, absolutely. The pleasure's all mine.
I enjoy talking with you. You're another person who sees what I see. So thank you. It was my pleasure. I'll hang around, let you wrap up the show.
All right, that sounds wonderful. Well, if you missed any of that, fear not. You can go to AnomicAge.com, and I'll have all the links that Elias mentioned. I'll have the EliasAlias.com as well as the MentalMilitia.net. I'll put both of them up there. Even though the Mental Militia ones, Ari wants it to be, we'll have them all up, so when they get working, you can easily find them. Wow, another wonderful show for sure, thanks to our guest. And I just got to echo these sentiments. Folks, disconnect. Turn off your telescreen. Turn off your tracker device. Turn off all this mess. And if it's only for a few minutes, take off your shoes and just walk outside. Walk on the grass, in the nature, if you can get there, on the beach, whatever it takes, and try to get back to the self. Try to get back to that introspection and reflection and stop looking into the telescreens. As I always say, you can't do everything, but you can do something. So please try to get out there and do your part and make that difference. Be safe out there. I'll be seeing you sooner than later in the Anomic Age.
Thank you for listening to the Anomic Age, a John Age project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to AnomicAge.com. That's AnomicAge.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to the Anomic Age. I'm gonna go to the next one.